With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
But the broader issues of the week is that was headlined by the tribunal's decision around Charlie Cameron reducing a suspension to a fine using exceptional and compelling circumstances, and particularly Charlie Cameron's off-field work in the Indigenous community. Cranky Fags is my favourite Fags, and he was proper Cranky Fags yesterday.
When you go to the tribunal, you use everything at your disposal to try and free up your player, which every club does. And if a bloke's got a good record, he's played 200 games and he's never been suspended for a match, you would at least give that a mention, I think. Otherwise, you'd be remiss in your duty to that player. So it was mentioned. I'm pretty sure it wasn't the main reason why the charge was downgraded to low impact. I think if you look at that incident, and you look at Lever, we're talking about impact here. So for me, impact is impact. So was Jake Lever hurt? No, he wasn't. Did he go off for a concussion test? No, he didn't. Was there a medical report from the Melbourne Football Club about his condition? No, there wasn't. So on every measure, that the impact of that incident was low. But yeah, they talked about it. It was at the low end of medium impact. Well, I'm arguing to you that it was low impact.
Low end of medium is still medium.
Mate, interview the tribunal. Don't interview me. I didn't make the decision, okay?
Great. Narky Fags is the best Fags. And he was like that right through.
That was consistent Fags. Consistently narky too. It didn't matter what the journos are. He was just in one of those moods, which must mean, Jared, big game coming up today. Big game.
Hodgie, you've seen that firsthand.
I did laugh very hard when you played that at the top of the show, because he always tries to be the pleaser and always tries to be a calm influence. Yeah, it's a big game tonight, and I think that's what Sammy just spot on. It's exactly what we saw. He was trying to talk his way out of just saying, hey, it was smart. He's had a good record, and we don't think it was that forceful of a tackle. But then when he realised the media would not let it go, it did Cranky Fags come out, which is good for us because it gives you a bit of a laugh when you see the old father figure who gets a little bit steamy every now and then.
Didn't have a great week, did they?
No, they didn't.
The AFL?
No. Well, it's... Half of it is their responsibility to tidy up the error. But the first part is out of their control, is they have an independent tribunal. And every now and then they go, what the hell's going on here?
Don't be that independent.
And, Jared, you might have been responsible for this. What I loved was the list was always going to come out, wasn't it? Yeah. In the aftermath. Well, okay then. Well, who else qualifies? Oh, here's the 38 guys who have played north of 200 and never been suspended. So there's your hall pass.
But you just know... You know that one of those 35 blokes, if they end up on the same, they won't get it. There'll be a nuance that doesn't allow them to get it, and that will cause the second wave of the problem, which is why it should have just been straightened out on Thursday at the appeals board.
We spoke about this on your show, that the AFL's official line was this is a very rare combination of factors here, not just the good character, but also the lower end of careless, the clean medical report, the 20-kilo weight difference, everything. It was like the pokies down at the local RSL that never goes off. It finally went off, and the AFL saying it'll never go off again.
Yeah, it'll go off again. But I enjoyed Chris Scott's. Well, it would just be offensive if my blokes didn't get it.
Yeah.
He's got a set of them who are plus 200 games with no suspensions. So his ration, and he would, you just go... It'd be offensive if they weren't regarded in the same good character.
Does it work against anyone? It can work for
well,
you.
It used but to it, work against
yeah,
you.
So are we now going to go the other way?
So the problem with it is...
The pokey go off again?
We try to be, I think, we try to be super careful to separate the action from the character. so that you don't assassinate the character for something that goes wrong on the field. But this not only invites it, it actually empowers it. So we're going to say your character is directly influential in what happens on the field. That's
ridiculous.
That's wrong in a legal system.
We have had it. We've had the Toby tax for years. The irony of that was we've had the Toby tax return. So he got off when he got a dividend. He got a payment. He got off when he probably should have gone off in the first place. A bad couple of weeks.
And he's caused all this issue. That's what everyone was reverted back to. I don't reckon they would have fought this if Toby Green got a week. The reason why they went so hard at it is because Toby didn't get a week. He didn't even get looked at. That's why they had to go and challenge it, which opened up a whole can of worms.
We're happy in the end with the Zach Butters.
No, you carried the day on that.
Where do we sit with that?
I think there was a clear piece of vision, which I hadn't seen when we discussed it on Monday, which illustrated the force of the high contact.
Oh, massive hit.
So it wasn't the glancing blow that I'd thought it was in the first two angles. There was an angle that showed the sweat getting knocked off his face.
When they said that he was attempting to pick up the ball, you're not going in at that speed to pick up the ball. If you're going to pick up the ball, you slow down, you turn your body, you pick it up. His hands went down because he knew exactly what he was doing. He tried to make body contact and he got him high. That's a suspension every day of the week.
So what's that? That's a clearing of the area, Hodgie, and then he circles back to pick the ball up.
Well, he's used his body to impact an opponent. And we've always said if you get him high, you're going to get held accountable. He did not try and pick up the ball. His hands went down, but he knew exactly what he was doing.
The ball's considered a bonus at that stage. He's looking for contact.
100%.
He knows at that speed it's inevitable.
He's clearing it out to come back and pick up the pearl.
I don't think he's caring about the ball.
Yeah.
He's just making sure that Banfield doesn't get it.
And it was particularly pertinent because it all happens around the retirement of Nathan Murphy. So another promising young career that gets cut short through concussion, Sam.
24 years of age, definition of in your footy prime, isn't it really? After Angus Brayshaw and they're not the first, they won't be the last. We know that. There'll be more to follow when it comes to being medically retired. So he was wrestling with this. There was so much anxiety, Jared, within Nathan Murphy about what to do. He wasn't sleeping well, and you can understand that. What am I doing? Is what I do going to be the right thing? How can I be sure? And then it was almost a relief to him to be told that this isn't for you anymore. And the relief in that, as disappointing as it is for him, was absolute. Now what happens is really pertinent in terms of balancing the books across the competition. I think that time is of the essence here for the AFL to finally put out a state of play to clubs. What happens when players are medically retired in contract and the players are going to get paid? That's obvious. But what does the club carry? Is it inside the cap or is it outside the cap?
Outside the cap. Has to be.
So, Hodgie, I want to ask you the question of this particular circumstance. So across the summer, Collingwood extended his contract by a year, knowing full well that his career was in a state of flux. It was going to be outside his hands and they had no certainty whether he was going to play 2024. So if they extend his contract to 2025, say that's $500,000. They've made that decision knowingly in that phase. Do they really have the right to have that sit outside the cap?
Well, they did that so he didn't rush back. They did that so they were showing him and they were saying to him, look, you've put your body on the line for us on the biggest day of the year. You need time to go back and make a rash call. If he was told he only had this year and you've got to play to get another contract, that took any pressure away from him of rushing to get back in to try and prove that he's good enough to play football. He went back and made a call on his own personal physical health, which was recommended to him by doctors. So I thought, well done to Collingwood. They're showing loyalty to a player who put his body on the line numerous times, who now has to retire because he's sleeping, his headaches, his migraines. I'm all for what they did, and the AFL should allow that to not be in the cap, and the player should be fully paid for the service that he's done. He's now retired because of what he put his body through and his head. And we talk about how risky the game is. This is just showing the support that what these players go through.
Yeah, so I think that's conflating two issues. One, on the human side of things, absolutely, and Nathan Murphy's entitled to all of it, plus he'll get the concussion settlement through insurance. But Collingwood made that decision eyes wide open. It's a free hit. If the money's outside the cap, it's nothing.
Brayshaw. Same with Brayshaw.
Brayshaw was a 6-year contract. Melbourne knew.
They're aware. I think the AFL average wage has to sit in the cap. I don't think you should just get a clean wipe. You've made that decision. If it goes wrong, for 6 years, you absorb the AFL average wage for that player. And then I think it services all parties.
That's a very sensible suggestion as a middle
That's
ground.
Way too it, sensible for you, King.
It
you
look should shy, be. Why are you always so shocked?
It needs to be prescribed. So this, sorry, this is overdue.
This is my now. How shocked you are.
This is overdue.
Oh, boy.
As, enough, I'm going.
As a policy, I think. There's enough of these instances that we... that everybody should know for absolute clarity where it sits.
And if you sign them for 6 years, well, that's you run that risk. But you're not paying overs. I mean, if it's $1 million player, you're still just taking, what's the AFL average at the moment now, about 450 or something?
Yep. But you don't want the players to be punished either, do you?
No. They get their money.
They get their money.
No, but...
And they get their insurance.
You don't want clubs to be reluctant to give contracts that players deserve because they're living in fear that they're going to be beholden to paying inside the cap.
They're only paying the AFL average. So it's an average AFL player. It's not a star factor cost.
I'm a Jared. I'm shocked too. It's a very sensitive way.
I know you would be.
It's an elegant solution.
But my thing is, it's when you play football, you know that you're going to have shoulders, knees, but you can push through. Like some blokes play with bone on bow. Yes, you're going to be sore when you finish. When it comes to medical recommended, you finish your career because of what you've put your body through. And in this case, he's obviously concussions has caused it. Same with Brayshaw. This is where I think it's outside, and the player should be outside the cap because any physical injury, you can push through that. Whether it's a broken arm, shoulders, bad shoulders, you can push through that and keep playing for as long as you want until the club want to get rid of you. This is a medically one where they've said, no, we're not, we can't let you continue to go through because of what's going to happen to you later in life. Considering what we've seen players through the 80s, 90s have gone through.
Yeah, I just think there has to be clarity because if we use the Brayshaw case study, does Fremantle have a free hit at offering him an 8-year contract at $900,000, knowing that if it does go south, they're out of all of it?
Yeah.
I can't have that.
Yeah.
So yours is an elegant solution. It needs to be enshrined so that everybody knows.
Yeah, you just can't have clubs making these decisions with no cost.
I wanted to ask you, Sam, do you think Collingwood did it with a wink and a nod? Extended the contracts with a wink and a nod from the AFL. This is how it's going to land.
Yeah, and that's the easy conclusion to draw, but I don't think so. No, I think the clubs are completely in the dark. Now, they might be relatively confident they're going to get, as Kingy might suggest, either a full discount or a partial discount on this. But there was a chance, I think, for a time that Nathan Murphy's contract extension was longer than 1 year. So that points to Collingwood being in the dark and perhaps only was the one because... speculating here because they weren't absolutely sure of what they were going to be beholden to in the aftermath.
But what are Collingwood getting out of it though? The only thing is they're doing this to look after their player. So you're sort of saying that a wink and a nod, sort of saying that if they get if he has to retire, we don't get anything back.
Yeah, but so that they know they're not $500,000 short in the 2025 cap.
But they didn't need to sign him at all. Well, he had a contract for this year. He they didn't need to extend it at all.
The point is they did. So did they do it knowing they weren't going to be short-suited in 2025?
Yeah, of course they did, but they were looking after their player.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Would love to give their players an extra $500,000, but that's why we have a salary cap.
It's a bit different. Players haven't gone through... This is a person who they were worried about his well-being and saying that they would have preferred for him to go through and be okay and play for another 10 years. This is what their wish was, that he could play for another 5, 6, 7 years. But what they were doing, they were showing the support for him because of what he put his body through playing for that football club.
The question is, would they have done it if the whole salary stayed in the cap?
And that's why we are long overdue for a policy that's what on this front, which is the point. So prescribe it and tell everybody so that we can actually deal with the facts.
Coming in the next couple of weeks, I think, Jared, on that front.
Super Saturday is ahead of us on Crunch Time. We'll delve next.